Everybody, how are you getting on? Hope you're all right. We're a bit out of sync this week. It's a Wednesday for us. Don't know what day it is for you, but it's a Wednesday for us. We're normally recording on a Friday. Kelly's got somewhere important to be this weekend, so we're doing it early. We're getting in early. Quick introduction to who we are. I am Ian. I am 54 years old. I live in the northeast of England, and I stopped drinking nearly 6 years ago, 29th of May 2020 for me. We're going to talk about, as we always do, the benefits of not drinking. We've got a great guest with us today, but for 6 years nearly for me now, and I've not looked back. We've got Kelly with us. Good day, Kelly. How are you getting on?
Hi, Ian. I'm good. I'm Kelly, 43 years old. I'm coming up for 7.5 months sober, so I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I recover. My recovery is through AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. So I started my alcohol-free journey, sobriety journey, in 2022 through an online community, Over the Influence, which me and Ian met on. That's where we became good friends. It's been a bit of a journey. Obviously, 2022, I started that journey. I did get 10 months sober, and then I got 16 months sober. And then eventually I thought, you know, online community is great for me, but I'm an alcoholic and I need something else in my recovery. So as well as a community, I go to AA as well, which is good for me. And I have got somewhere good to go this weekend. This weekend is our first community meetup in Oxfordshire, I think, Chiltern House. So I'm flying down there on Friday and staying for the weekend, which I'm super excited about. I think there's about 20 so far. I was going to say, if anyone wants to join us, please do, but by the time this goes out, it'll be finished. So, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, Ian.
Yeah, it's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah. And that's a decent number for the first event, isn't it?
Pleased with that.
Ben, he's organised. He was telling me he's got nearly 20 going. And then if anyone turns up, who's, you know, we've been banging on about it now for a few weeks, haven't we? So hopefully some people might just turn up, which will be even better. Yeah. So, yeah, plenty of pictures, and we'll get them in the... We'll get them sent around and what have you. So, happy days. Good stuff. Today, we've got a young'un. Well, the young'un compared with me, we've got Andrew. Andrew Beattie, who I will let introduce himself. But we got to know Andrew through Laura, who was a guest on the podcast on number 12 or 13. I forget which one it
13,
was.
Yeah, 13.
And I think that you shared with me Andrew's TikTok, which really got me going, because I thought,
Ian's down with the youngins now. He's got TikTok installed now.
Down with the kids, Andrew. I'm going to see how many buzzwords I can embarrass you with doing this chat. But, anyway, hello, Andrew Beattie. How are you getting on?
I'm good. I'm Andrew Beattie. But I'm known as Beattie on TikTok. And I'm 26. I'm actually 27 tomorrow. And I'm also the same. I got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous, 2024. 12th of February is my sobriety date. So I'm 2 years and 2 months and a few days. And you know, it's been the best thing I've ever did in my life. I never thought I'd get sober. You know, I just thought it was impossible for me, considering being young and having so many people around me that my age, it was still drinking and partying. And it's been a journey since, you know what I mean? So it's been amazing.
Yeah, I've got loads of questions for you, because I've got, that's like, my kids are 19 and 21, and watching some of your TikToks, listening to sort of how you talk and how you sort of so upbeat about, you know, the benefits of not drinking, but you're also honest about the down, you know, the tough bits as well, but you're just dead honest and dead straightforward. And I just think, you know, being brave enough to be out there and sort of saying all this, I just think it's a breath of fresh air. So, I'm sure it'll come out in the chat as we get chatting, but I'm sure you get so many sort of like positive comments about your bravery and how you're sort of willing to sort of say all the things and do the things you do. So good on you.
Thank you.
What we normally do, Andrew, is we sort of work backwards and then bring it up to date in terms of, you know, your current sort of life and stuff. But do you mind sort of going back to where sort of your drinking story began, if you know what I mean, and kind of how it started, where it got to the point where you thought, you know what, I'm sick of this shit, I'm going to do something.
To be honest, like, I think back to my drinking in general, like, I started drinking from a very young age. I always re remember my first taste of alcohol. I was about 7 or 8. I used to be that kid that would like try and take the top of someone's pint and being around family parties and taking sips here and there. And I don't know, but it wasn't like something that I had a desire for. It was just I had an interest from a young age. But my first drinking experience was in high school, first year. I had stole my dad's vodka. Put into a bottle and took a drink of it, straight vodka, and brought it into school to show people. And it was the validation of other people that, kind of spurred me on, that I had an interest in it from then on. But my drinking wasn't like chaotic all the time from a young age. I had periods in my life where I would drink with all the young ones because, coming from an area, Drumchapel, it's one of those communities where a lot of kids do stuff like that. And it was just kind of seen as the norm. And that's what I would do through my kind of teenage years, on and off. Sometimes at the weekends, it was just here and there. But my drinking I'd say it got worse, mostly when COVID came around. When it got to about 2020, that's when the drinking really took off. But it was always there. It was always in my life. There was always talk of alcohol from a young age. It was always about the weekends. When am I going to have a drink? But when I can think about when I can see when it got really out of hand was probably 2020, and it just spiraled from then on. Everyone was in lockdown, everyone was in the house, but I was still out working. I was still out there delivering parcels. That's my job. And it just became more and more of an excuse all the time. Do you know what I mean?
And I think certainly for me, my drinking really increased during lockdown. I was working from home, and every time you looked on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or anything, people were in lockdown in their homes having a drink. It was like party central in a lot of people's homes. But for me, it was kind of, that's when my drinking really ramped up as well.
COVID comes up so much, doesn't it? It's a real sort of like blip on a graph in terms of sort of, how it adjusted people's drinking. I was one of the I went the other way. So it was
You
this
did,
was May
yeah.
2020 was I think was it February, wasn't it, when I think sort of the world started getting a bit weird. And like everybody else, I was working from home. I worked for myself, so I wasn't furloughed, but I was working, but nothing was happening. It was dead. And then it was one of those really hot summers where it was like baking hot all the time. And so, I'd get to like 4 o'clock and you thought, I've got nothing to do. I'll have a beer. And I'd be encouraging my wife to have a gin and tonic. We sat in the garden and it was just getting worse and worse. And, without going into, well, this becoming about me and not you, Andrew, it was kind of sort of like, it was for me, it was just like, oh, I can see where this is going. This is actually a perfect time for me to stop because we're not going out. We're not seeing anybody. I'm going to give it a go. And it stuck from there. But COVID was a funny time, so I can see why, it kind of things ramped up from there. So tell us a bit about where it went from then. So you're into COVID, if you know what I mean, and things are getting a bit
So yeah, getting COVID,
crazy.
like alcohol's always been the main problem. I always touch on it. Like other substances as well was a problem. Being young, this became like a norm. It was like if you drank, you took drugs as well, and it was like you were not normal if you didn't do that. Do you know what I mean? So I had lots of people doing it, and it was something I always said I wouldn't do, but that just became hand in hand. But when I think about it, I always speak about it on my TikTok. Alcohol was my gateway. That was the thing that took me to all the other things, with my addiction. But I think, at the time I was with, so I've got two children. You can see the photos behind me probably. My son, that was my first child. I was with his mother for 6 years from school right up until COVID. And a lot of the behaviours through my addiction, I always speak about it because it's about the honesty of the fact that it was the lying, the stealing, the cheating. I was really dishonest. And all these behaviours that I was impacting that relationship, they just got worse and worse. I like at the time I couldn't really explain why, but it just intensified, and I felt like it was a pity party kind of thing because she was furloughed, everyone else around me was furloughed, but I was having to go to work, and that became another excuse of, well, I'm going out to work, and delivering parcels, right? People were decorating their houses 4 times a year in that because they had nothing else to do. So it was like Christmas every single day. My work was getting busier. I was out longer hours. So I was bringing home like 24 beers every night. It started off with 6, then it was 12, then it was 24. And it was just every single night. And it was like no one complained yet until that first complaint when my ex-partner was like, do you have to do that all the time? And it was like someone had popped this big bubble that I was in. It was like my fun had been ruined. And right away, it was blaming her for having an issue with something that I was doing, and I couldn't see that. And it was becoming a case of, I need to start hiding this now. So I would drink maybe half of what I said I was drinking. I would stay up late taking other substances, stay up to 5 in the morning. I would be on live streaming apps. There was other apps that you could go live with people, drinking with other people who I didn't even know, making friends, which opened up the doors to then me finding someone else who I then left my relationship for and into another relationship. So my behaviors, just the impulsivity just ramped up, and I had an excuse for it. I'd always have an excuse for it. I'd blame traumas. I'd blame my childhood traumas for the behaviors that I was doing. Anytime, the light was on me, it was always, well, it's because this happened to me when I was younger. You don't know what I've been through, kind of thing. And that was my excuse for everything I did, good and bad. It was always my traumas that was an excuse. But that's when it took off, when I left that relationship. And for the next few years, everything was just chaotic. There's so many stories I could go in and tell you, like what happened. Couple of relationships. I've had another child through that as well. But that's kind of how it just took off, from that point.
Would you say it was a lot of your drinking then, kind of house drinking rather than actually being out?
I think initially it was house drinking, and then when things started opening up again, it was kind of like, everyone was like, oh, we can't take this life for granted, kind of thing. So then you went from the house drinkers to, we've got to go and live and party as much as we can, because this could happen again and we don't know how long we've got. So then that became an excuse as well, because you then got your freedom back. But also I've came out of a relationship with someone who didn't really drink as much as me, and I've went into relationships with people who do drink as much as me. So it became that bubble that get popped. I was then back in a bubble again where it wasn't popped. So it was like, well, I'm safe again. No one's complaining what I'm doing. And I started going to the pub all the time. Going to the pub was constant. Finishing work, going to the pub, and that was the routine. And then after the pub, buying a lot more drink so that I could drink even more at the end of the night in the house once the shops were shut.
Would you say would you say that you kind of held your hands up and thought, right, okay, alcohol's kind of not alcohol's causing me more trouble now, or was it someone else that kind of flagged it to you?
What in order for me to get sober? Well, in order for me to get sober eventually, my wee girl's mum, she's also sober. We're not together. She's also sober. She's 2 years and a bit sober. She was 2 years in January, and I'm in February. She actually got sober in January 2024, and I was obviously still drinking, and she was going to Alcoholics Anonymous, and she it was like 3 weeks sober she was. She was coming back from these meetings and stuff, and it was a long weekend. I'd been drinking for a few days in a row. She came home after a meeting, and I'd fell asleep with one of the kids in the bed, and she woke me up and she said, can I speak to you in the living room? She took me into the living room and she said, I can't do this anymore. And I was thinking, what are you talking about? And she's like, I can't be with you anymore. And right away, I didn't really take it as serious, because I had managed to manipulate her so many other times when she was in a huff with me. So I'm just thinking she's having a bad night. And she's like, no. And she's saying all this stuff that she must have heard in AA and all the things that she'd learned. And she's like, I have to leave you in order for me to like continue this path. I'm wanting to be sober. Like, we're not going to work. I cannot get sober with someone that's still drinking. And I obviously was offended. I couldn't see that I was the problem. But right away, my defense was, I'll go to an AA meeting then. I'll go to an AA meeting, but I didn't really actually want to go to an AA meeting, because already I'm thinking, I'm going to have to put this act on now. And she said, you can come to an AA meeting if you want. I'll happily go with you. But that's not going to change anything. It's not going to make us stay together and all that. But I was still thinking in my head, this is going to work. This is going to work. But I was already thinking about births, deaths, and marriages. I'm thinking about, what am I going to do when this happens? What am I going to do when this happens? What about when my mum dies? Bearing in mind, she's in her 40s and she's probably got a lot to go, thinking about crazy situations. So it was like trying to put on this act, and how long can I keep it up for? But that was the catalyst for me to go into Alcoholics Anonymous. And it wasn't like full on, I'm going to stay sober. This was just to try and impress her initially. And then going to meetings, I actually learned about what I suffered from.
Amazing. So you actually stayed then?
Yeah, so we went to, so what happened was, the night that she broke up with me, she gave me a book, and I've read it at meetings. She gave me a book and said, write how you're feeling right now. And on the first day, the first night, I wrote how I felt. It was chaotic. I laugh when I look back at it, because I can see the illness, of the manipulation. I'm writing in the book, I can't believe she's leaving me. I mean, bad timing. I was going to go in AA meeting anyway, you know, because in my head I'm thinking she's going to read this, and if she reads this, she's going to get hope that I actually meant what I said. But the next day, I went to a meeting with her, and I remember getting a, I always tell this story. We get in a taxi because my car had broke down, and we're going to this taxi to this meeting, and we had to stop by a bank machine. And I've went to the bank machine while she sits in the car with the taxi driver, and by the time I go to the bank machine back into the taxi, the taxi driver knows all about Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're going to a meeting. And he's asking me, he's like, "So you're going to an AA meeting, pal?" And I'm looking at her mortified. So I'm thinking, why would you tell somebody that we're going to an AA meeting? But she was so happy and had all this gratitude with 3 weeks sober she was, and I couldn't understand why you would want to tell people that. So we got to the meeting, went into the meeting, and I heard about, you know, stay away from the first drink, you can't get drunk, and all these things that they would say. I didn't want anybody to touch me, and they seemed they were all happy, loving life, and I couldn't understand it. But I knew that I wanted what they had. I just didn't know how I was going to get that. And I went to like the 90 meetings, 90 days. I think I'd done double that. And it was actually my fourth Alcoholics Anonymous meeting that I sat down and I heard a guy talk about his life, and he had all these things still in his life, and a good job, kids, wife, car, and all this stuff. But he was telling me how miserable his life was and how it made him feel. And that was the first time I realized, you know, this is actually me he's talking about. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing, because I thought an alcoholic was someone that had absolutely nothing, you know, was in the street, homeless, nothing around him, because that's what you think an alcoholic is and you don't know what it is. And it was that moment, that was the turning point for me. I can actually look at it. That was when I realized, you know, this is what I want. And from then on, I just stuck to what they suggested.
Amazing. Amazing.
What was your mental health, if you can talk about it, Andrew? Don't worry if you're worried about it. What was your mental health like at this time? Sounds like you were all over the place, if you know what I mean, and then
Well,
things were tough for you.
my mental health, that's something I often talk about it on my TikTok still to this day, because I still, you know, still suffer from it in sobriety. And it's been horrible. Like, I've had a terrible time with it my whole life, counselors my whole life, through high school, all this stuff. But at that period of time, when I think that, I always say it's a miracle, but I believe there was something carrying me through that, because, you know, that was a really dark time. You know, I had someone who that I was engaged to that I wanted to be in my life still, and, you know, a family I'm trying to hold together that's came to an end, but they're still living in my house, and I'm having to push through and go to these meetings and keep doing this deal and keep doing it every day. And, you know, it felt easy because I thought I was getting what I wanted. I felt like I was starting to get it all together, but because I still had this wee glimmer of hope that, you know, she was going to stay. But after 4 weeks sober, she had actually left, removed herself from the house, and went on to leave. And at that point, that was the hardest part with my mental health, because I thought, have I just done all this 4 weeks for nothing? Because I've got it in my head that I'm doing it for someone else. And, you know, my first sponsor that I had, he said to me, "What is that? You're just going to spit the dummy out now because you're not getting what you want." And he kind of told me the hard truth. And he was like, "That's not how it works. You don't just give up because you don't get what you want. You have to keep going for yourself." And I did somehow, I managed to find the strength to just push through that. And writing that book every single day, I still keep it and I reflect on it when I'm not feeling good. But I wrote in it every single day for 4 weeks, and that's what pushed me through. But my mental health was really bad. I was on antidepressants. I went to the doctors, and I was on antidepressants from then up until I was a year sober, and then I came off them. So from then to now, it's been like trying to get through life without anything and trying to learn how to deal with my emotions and my anxiety, because I suffer really bad with anxiety, which I often speak about on my TikTok.
It might feel like a long time that you're talking about there, but that's a, you know, from 2020 to now is actually it's quite a short time, really. When and the way you've described your life then, and quite chaotic, if you know what I mean, to now. And I hear you talking now, and you're so like honest and insightful and like poised and calm. It's hard to imagine, you know, that bloke. I can't imagine that bloke, because you present so lovely and brilliantly. It's you must see the changes in yourself. And do you see the changes? Can you sort of
No,
see
I
what you would, you know,
definitely.
what you would have been like now if you'd kept going the way you were, if you know what I mean?
I definitely see the changes. Like, I'm a sucker for keeping all my memories on my phone. Like, I pay for storage on my phone, and some people don't like that. But it doesn't bother me. Like, I sometimes go through, like, I was one of these people before I even done TikTok. I filmed everything. I had photos for every single occasion. You know, if someone wanted a memory, they'd come to me because I've got it. And I've got all these like horrendous videos and pictures, and See, sometimes at night, I don't know why, it just, even when I'm in a good mood, I'll go through them and just look at them. And I don't even look at them and get upset anymore. Like, I look at them and sometimes I do laugh because some of them are funny memories, you know. But I look at them and go, wow, what a difference in someone. Like, it's a miracle that this has happened because I never ever once thought that. You know, if you told me a few years ago that I'd be sitting doing this and speaking about it, you know, I would have laughed. I've had massive, massive opportunities away from doing the TikTok so far. I've had other opportunities that I couldn't, didn't think it was possible as well. But it's been a massive change, and I can see that myself. I can feel it myself, and people tell me all the time.
It's amazing, and you must feel like so proud of yourself and grateful, because you'll hear it yourself, and I hear it quite often as well. Like, people come in for other people and then they go away back out again. I mean, I first went to a meeting, Andrew, in 2016. It's now 2026, and I'm 7 months sober. So the fact that you've stayed and you're working at it, just it fills me with absolute joy to see someone so young that's went. And clearly, do you know, it's such a shame as well, because I listen to you and like you're writing how you feel, so that there's so much substance to you that would have been lost through addiction had something not kind of directed you towards a your ex-partner or something out there. Whatever you choose to say, but it's just it's a delight listening to you, because like there is so many people that go for other people and then they're in and out for years. Like you've taken all that out the equation. Do you know? It's just because, like we say all the time as well, if you're thinking that alcohol is causing you trouble now, it's still going to be causing you trouble in another 10 years. Only worse. I mean, it got completely worse for me. Lost jobs, lost relationships, a lot. So if I'd have stayed all those years ago, I would have maybe not lost as much. So the fact that you get what I'm saying.
No, I completely get what you're saying. Like, being my age as well, it's something I'm quite big on, hence why I started doing the TikToks. Like, I try and like constantly repeat myself to people. You know, a lot of people, well, most people are out there suffering. You know, I always say 90%. I kind of make that up myself, but 90% I'd say, because I see it everywhere. A lot of young ones as well. And this thing what people do is they compare their suffering to other people. I've often found that myself when I've took people to like AA or I've tried to help them, and you know, they'll sit there and they'll listen to someone else's experiences or stories and they hear how bad it's really got. And sometimes they go, oh, well, I don't think I'm an alcoholic. I don't think I'm this, because they've went through this and I haven't. I just sit and have three glasses of wine a night and feel like, you know, crap the next day. And I always try and explain to them, you know, if you can recognize that, if you have the ability to recognize that that is not good and you don't want to live that way, then why are you waiting around to get to that point? Do you know what I mean? It's always like we're on a staircase. There's always someone in front of you and someone behind you. There's someone worse off situation wise and someone in front of you, it's not as bad. But your feelings can all be the same. And I always explain that. It's the feelings. If you feel that way, you know, you've got, and you recognize it, you've got a special power there. Like, you do. If you don't recognize, then you're just going to keep suffering.
We see it all the time in the community, because I mean, the people that are in our community are generally people that have just like Ian just had enough of it, like cause them anxiety, just drinking too much and not feeling good, like not kind of cross that line into alcoholism or addiction. That's the majority of the people in our community, if not all. But it's about that, if it's too much for you, like if it's not making you feel good, then that's your indication now to stop, because if it's not making you feel good now, it's not going to make you feel any better in 6 months' time. And we're all about, and the reason that I kind of love what we do in the community is that we're so big on prevention, not just intervention. So like sharing the benefits, and obviously it's difficult, it can be really difficult sometimes, and we're honest about that as well, but sharing the benefits and showing that it can be done and that there's a life out there without alcohol to kind of try and stop so many people crossing that line into addiction. And what you're doing at such a young age, sharing your story across socials, is just so inspiring. It's absolutely amazing.
I thank you. As do you know what you said there about the prevention thing, like, even just the term alcoholic, right? And because obviously in the day it's down to you what you decide if you are an alcoholic or you're not. And I think a lot of people hear like things like Alcoholics Anonymous and they think you've got to be an alcoholic. And I always say to people, like, they say if you've got a desire to stop drinking, you know, it's the place for you. Even if you don't want to go there, removing alcohol from your life is important. If it's causing you problems and you feel a certain way, you don't have to be called an alcoholic, but you can prevent it. You can prevent, like you said, from getting to a point. Like remove it from your life because it's a lifestyle choice as well. If you just feel like you've had enough of it, and I think a lot of people don't want to remove it from their life because they are scared that they're not going to have a better life, such as social life. A lot of people say to me all the time, "I don't know how you can do this at a young age because do you not feel lonely? Do you not feel you've not got any friends?" And I say to them, "You know, you do lose people when you get sober. That's the harsh reality." But I always say, you know, put a positive from a negative. Whatever you believe in, right? I'm more of a higher power person. That's kind of the way I believe my life. But I believe people are removed from your life, you know, for a reason. And if you get sober and people get removed, that's because you're gaining and keeping all the good things in your life. You know, I've gained so many things that are positive and lost all the people that I thought were important, and they're not at all.
I think a lot of I know quite often, and I see it in a lot of people, it's like victim mindset. So it's like total victim mindset and can't see past that. So like when you're in that mindset of like poor me's and but it's because of this and but I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that, it's flipping it into a growth mindset and being like, well, actually there's so many positives and places that I can grow.
Exactly. Like when I see obviously getting sober as well, I always felt like the initial start of getting sober, that once I removed that, you know, life was going to be great and I was just going to be this great person and that was me. And then I realized, you know, it wasn't all about that as well. Hence why I still do the journey, talking about the changes now and recognizing behaviors. And because even though it's not in my life, the behaviors that I did once when I drank and took substances, I've carried them into sobriety at times in my life. And, you know, it's trying to combat that and remove it from my life as well, because I've done so many things through my sobriety that I would have probably still done in the past that I'm trying to change. And a lot of people don't realize that when they get sober, they think putting it down and that's it, and you know, life's going to be good. It's all that internal work that we speak about. You know, the 12-step program for me has massively helped me. Sitting on TikToks most nights and talking about things that I've done, being honest, you know, all these things factor into it, and it's took me up a level. I feel like since January this year, I always keep telling people I feel like I've had another spiritual awakening, because I came out of a relationship and, you know, I realized what I want in life, what I want for myself, how I want to treat other people. You know, try to just correct some behaviors even now, 2 years sober. Constantly try to work on yourself all the time to prevent yourself going back the way. Because I find if I don't do the work, I do start thinking back the way, and I do start thinking about what if.
I just think about, like, you know, again, just listening to you now and hearing all the things you're saying, and just like the confidence that not drinking gives you compared to the confidence that it sucks out of you when you do drink. I mean, like, you know, it was 49 when I stopped drinking, and I think about like, think about all the, I used to use it as a crutch. It was my way of relaxing. If I was in a big environment, it was my way of sort of just taking the edge off, making myself in a position where I could relax and enjoy things. And I thought it made me funny. I thought it made me sort of, you know, and all the rest of it. And it took so much away. And it was like all the things that I couldn't do because I just wouldn't put myself in those situations because I was like, I was shrinking. Do you know what I mean? And like, and a bit, when you're saying about the spiritual awakening, it's almost like it could be a spiritual awakening. It could also just be that growing confidence of, well, if I can do that, I can do that. And if I can do this, I can do that. And you get the momentum from all the people who you're probably engaging with on TikTok and who are probably giving you compliments and buying into what you're saying. It probably just grows and grows and grows. It's just that confidence grows, doesn't it, Andrew? Do you think?
No, definitely. It's like when I get a lot of people come to me on my TikTok especially, and you know, they ask some of these similar questions, because most nights I'm live and I tend to just go live so that people can feel comfortable to come and message me or, you know, talk to me privately about it. And you know, a lot of the people that I actually attract is it's a lot of females that come into lives because they've got partners that, you know, are suffering with this, who aren't brave enough to come out and speak about it, or they've not fully accepted that they've got an issue. And a lot of young men as well who don't want to admit they've got a problem. It's always the concerning, like mums or wives or ex-partners. You know, these are the sort of people that I'm kind of attracting, coming to me asking questions, because a lot of people don't want to, you know, accept what they're suffering from. They don't want to take accountability. That's the thing. Once you admit that you've got a problem, you're taking accountability for all these things. And that's something that I found was a struggle, you know, taking accountability. could never ever say sorry. You know, that's something that a sorry wasn't in my vocab. I couldn't say it. So it's that's kind of the importance of why I talk about these things.
I think the more, I mean, obviously Alcoholics Anonymous is anonymous, but I'm big on shouting for the rooftops as well, because I think there's so much stigma attached to not only alcoholism and addiction, but also to people that just want to remove alcohol from their life for a healthier lifestyle. It's like, oh, just have a drink, just have a drink. Like, I don't get that. No one tries to get me to take a drink. It's like, Kelly, do not drink, please. Do you know? So it's kind of hard for the people that are trying to stop drinking because it's just too much for them, where they've got people like, oh, just have one. You can just have a couple and then stop. And they're like, well, actually, I can't. So I think the more we talk about it for everybody, just to remove the stigma attached to alcohol altogether.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, like for me personally, I know everyone's different in their situations, but I always say to people, the reason it's also kept me being sober is everyone around me knows I say I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm proud to say I'm an alcoholic. I say it all the time. People in my area, like most people know me. There's not one person that doesn't know that. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's so important that everyone knows that I am, so that say I was to ever find myself in a situation where God forbid that I was to go try and go back to that kind of life, there's always going to be somebody there, kind of like, you shouldn't be doing that kind of thing to try and hold me up. And I think a lot of people that I've met, like you said, it's that stigma. They don't want to let people know that they have an issue with it because they do care about what people think, the judgment on them, how they're going to be looked at. And I always try and say to them, it's a different world we're in. Like, see if there's people that do judge you and they look at you differently. They're not genuine people that you really need to be concerned about. The people who care about you and love you will get around you like massively. There's people around me who I don't talk to all the time, but they support what I do. They support the stuff that I'm saying, and they know that I can't go and do that. And I feel like it's important, like if you're struggling with it, let people around you know, because the more people around you know that you are struggling with it, the more support you'll have.
And it's going back to that whole thing as well about kind of admitting it and accepting that you're an alcoholic. Like, for me, it's going back to that whole thing about what is an alcoholic. Like you said, if it's 3 glasses of wine and it's too much, if it's a bottle of wine, it's too much. For me, I used to say, when I drink, sometimes when I drink alcoholically. That's the shitty sentence that I used to come out with when I was in denial. Well, I wasn't in denial, I just, because what would happen is sometimes I could have a drink and everything was fine, and other times I could have a drink and it would blow up my life. So I'd be like, well, I can't be an alcoholic. Do you know what I mean? So I used to say, when I drink, sometimes I drink alcoholically. Now I just, like, I'm an alcoholic and that's it, and I'm happy and I accept that. But it is that whole thing of, like you said, it's about how it makes you feel. It's not about how much you drink. It's not about how often you drink. It's about how does it make you feel. If it makes you feel a certain way, then talk about it and share it with the people around you.
Yeah, see the stuff I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, yourself, with they talk about the threefold illness, or some people call it the twofold illness. I always speak about it every single night, on my platform, just for the people who don't really understand alcoholism, because I feel like for me, it's important that if you start explaining what that is all the time, over and over and over again, someone will hear it and go, oh, that's me. Because I used to think back to how many times, even before I went into recovery, there was times in my life where I was like, oh, I'll just try and take it easy this week, or I'll just try and take it easy tonight, and have one can in the fridge. And I would go, just have the can that's in the fridge, and that first drink, and then I get the first drink, and then it gets to 10 to 10 at night. And every single time it was like a fight with my head to get to the shop. And before you know it, I'm at the shop and the shutter's half down, getting more than 10 times more just to feel at ease. But then like you said, you have times where you can have nights where you've actually had a good night and it's not been that bad. They're the moments that the mental obsession tells you, hey, but you're not actually that bad, because remember this time. And you start thinking about all the good times. The bad times you start blaming on, oh, it's just I had a bad day, or it was just because this happened. Like for me, like I spoke about the traumas, I won't go into detail, but I experienced a lot of traumas, like abuse and stuff for that when I was younger. And that was always the excuse for me. Every single time, no matter what it was, even when I had blackouts, I would just pin something on that. But the mental obsession would tell me, okay, it was just you were just having a bad moment. It's just because you had an argument with someone today. The weather wasn't any good. You've hurt your knee, like all these things.
Obviously, can you tell us a bit about obviously you're very vocal on your TikToks, and that's what's kind of helping, clearly helping people out, and it clearly helps you out as well to talk about it and promote it, sort of thing. But are there any stories you can give without obviously breaking any confidences of anybody? Is there any examples of people who you've been able to sort of strike up a bit of a dialogue with or get a bit of a conversation going with, where you think actually I've really been able to help them?
Well, I'm actually helping someone right now. I don't even think, to be honest with you, he won't mind. I won't say his name, I'll just say his nickname. But so my nickname's Beatty, and his nickname's Bungo. Beatty and Bungo, that's the kind of dynamic we're in.
Nice.
And we're good pals. And 2023, right? This will relate to what I'm saying. But 2023, I went in my holiday before I got the year before I got sober. I went on a holiday in Bulgaria with this boy, one of my best pals. And I was the bad influence. I was really bad with my drinking at the time. We went away for 2 weeks. It was horrific, to be honest with you. I don't know how I made it back alive. It was one of those holidays that I'll never forget for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And we drank all the time, really bad. And he would make out to his mum that I wasn't that bad because his mum didn't want a bad influence, but I was. And then when I got sober, I was a week sober, and I tried to take him to a meeting. Now, he never stuck it around. And he's went through a bit of a hard time the last couple of years. But quite recently, at my 2 year sober meeting, when I'd done my share, my family and friends had came. And I shared about all my experiences and stuff, what's happened in the last 2 years, the bad times and the good times. And he came in and shared at the end, and he said his name, and he said he was an alcoholic, and he just opened up about how he was feeling and what had happened to him recently, because he went through a really bad time. And quite recently, he'd asked me to sponsor him. He's asked me to kind of help him out. And I don't see him all the time, but I check in with him, and he'll phone me and ask me questions. And that's what I want from him. And it's crazy how you think that I was the bad influence, and I was taking him down a bad path. And now it's like it's flipped. And now he's even said in front of a room of people that he looks up to me and he's inspired by me. And that just touched me. Like, it really made me feel emotional, because I'm like, it's crazy how the tables have kind of turned. So there's someone I'm kind of helping, and it's been amazing. He's still early, you know what I mean? He's still early recovery, and he's got his ups and downs. But we're going on holiday in June this time. We got sober. We're going sober, so it's such a
Brilliant.
contrast. So either us,
Where will you go? Where are you going to go?
we're going to Mallorca, Santa Ponsa.
Amazing. Brilliant. Just the two of
Brilliant.
you?
Aye, just the 2 years.
Right. Taking it, just, and I mean, that'll be a great holiday, but actually just made me think of another question. What's your social life like now? Because
My social
obviously,
life. I always say, like, when people ask me, like, because I probably overreact, like, I'm a bit of a loner now, right? But I do have friends. Like, I've got lots of friends. The friends that matter to me. I've got my best pal. We've been pals since we were born. Sean, he's like my best pal. And we see each other often for the football and stuff like that. But we're just, getting to that age. You've got your own life, work and whatnot. I've got my kids, so I can't always see them. But I've got other friends as well. I've got my female pals as well, that we meet up sometimes with the kids and we do stuff. So I do have that. But inside recovery, I've gained so many friends. I've got actual genuine friends who phone me to check up me. They don't phone me to ask me for something else, like money or whatever. They're actually wanting to see if I'm okay. I've got a good few close pals in AA that I've met, and we've done things. Like, I've done cold water therapy with guys who are like double my age. When the weather's good, on a Monday we'll go out and do cold water dipping, and I see them like these uncles kind of vibes. They're like older guys, and they all get around me like these uncles and dads and stuff. And my social life's good, I'd say, but it's a normal social life. I think I'm quite hard on myself sometimes, because I feel like I'm always wanting to do something. Like, I feel like I've got to constantly be doing something, but then when I'm doing something, I want to be doing nothing.
I know that feeling. I think Ian knows that as well.
Aye.
Oh yeah, totally. But I just listened to what you said there about, loads of mates. And I used to think I had loads of mates. And I used to think, oh, I've got all these people. I could ring him up and have a beer. He'd go for a drink. They're always good for a laugh. And I used to tell myself I had all these friends. And really, a lot of them disappeared by the wayside when I stopped drinking, as you would expect. But it was really just, they weren't mates. They were just people who I associated with, who were just people who I could call upon if I wanted a drink somewhere, in different circumstances. And now I haven't got as many mates, but the mates I've got mean, like you say, they mean just mean so much more. It's like I've got my priorities right now. It's wife and kids first. Then there's a handful of really good friends, and then beyond that there's another level. Then you just get things in order, don't you? You know, and you don't need loads of mates. I don't think it's natural to have, I don't know, dozens of mates or hundreds of mates. It's just not natural.
No, it's not. It's not at all. Like, there's a lot of things I think in life before it. Like you said, alcohol. Like going out for a drink, the social norm where people go, let's go and have a drink, and you think some of these people are your friends, but that's just because you've got alcohol in common. You know, that's you take that away, what have you got? Like, can you sit in a room with each other with alcohol and actually have a genuine conversation? Because the only time I see these people relax is when they've all got a pint sitting in front of them, and then they'll talk. Do you know what I mean? And you have the genuine conversations when they're drunk, and then they forget about it the next day. But I think like there's lots of things that held my life back. Alcohol obviously is the number one thing. And when I think back to how I lived my life, there were so many opportunities and things that I wanted to do in life for years, and I never ever done them because I always cared about what these people would think. You know, these people who aren't even in my life anymore, I would think about like, I want to do this. Like, for example, TikTok, I started doing that this year. That's something I've always been interested in doing, but been too scared to do, to put myself out there because I thought about, you know, how all these people would think about me. And they're not in my life anymore. I've done other things like since I got sober, like I've been on the TV a couple of times. I do TV extra work. I do modeling. And these are all these things that I would never ever do because I was too busy thinking about what these people I drank with would think about me. And now they're not even in my life.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes,
Crazy that we worry about, you know, what insignificant people think about us, and it
Yeah,
holds us back
exactly.
so much, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
The other thing, just listening as well when you're talking, I'm so like glad that we've been chatting to you today, and I'm so glad that things have moved on from when I was your age, which when I was your age, you know, but when I was, you know, when I'm 54, you're 26, you know, you're less than half my age, and like, you know, people 26 didn't talk like this when I was young. You know, you really did keep it to yourself. You had these sort of things, you didn't share them with anybody, you know. And like, I think that's something that's really, some things aren't as good, you know, I think, than when I was younger. Some things are better, and this is definitely better, Andrew. The fact that, you know, you're out here now, brave enough to talk about this and tell everybody about it. Kelly, I don't know what you think, but I just think it's so reassuring for, you know, I think for, you know, for me, for my younger family, and just, you know, people in general that have sort of, you know, people like Andrew out there, not Fred, not scared to show what they talk about, what they're feeling, and actually encourage other people to do it. Would you agree?
Definitely. It's as you say, the fact that you're doing it so young as well, it will definitely inspire people. And it's just a crying shame that actually one substance can hold so many people back from not only improving their lives and but benefiting everybody else around them as well. Do you know, it's like just one substance holds so many people back. And I just hope that people listen to this or following Andrew as well, look and think, do you know, there's another way. Like I've got a 27-year-old, a 25-year-old, and a 16-year-old, and thankfully they don't really drink. One of them can rip the arse out at sometimes, but I'll not mention what one. You know, if he listens, he'll know what one. But thankfully they don't really drink a lot. But I know for a fact they'll listen to things like this and be inspired and encouraged to choose a different path. So I just think it's absolutely amazing.
I think that see like the prevention thing, like every single person on this planet has got potential, like every single person. And I think about myself, and you know, I reflect a lot recently, and I'm like, the stuff that I'm trying to do now, I mean, it's happening now, and that's good, and hopefully it can get somewhere. But I think about the potential that I've always had. I've always had the potential in me. We all have potential in us. But that one substance, no matter what it is, whether it's drinking, drugs, gambling, whatever it is, like that holds you back. And there's so many people in this world who are sitting right. I talked about it last night. You know, think of a 100% meter, and most people are living life at 30%. You know, and they're all at 30%. And they're all comparing each other and looking at who's a percent above or whatever else. And they're only aspiring to try and be 45 to 50%, but they're all wishing they could be 100. And you know, it's the and substances and whatever it is that's holding you back, that's stopping your potential. And I've only just realized that, you know, even in this year, and I've been sober for 2 years, it's only been more now, so now. And it's like lots of things like, you know, negative people, negative things, places, all whatever it is. That's holding you back, and so many people know that, but they don't want to accept it and feel admit it. And I feel like when you hear people like myself, young, saying this to them, like I'm constantly trying to drill it into them. Last night I had a good live, and I just kept saying it. You know, if you're listening to me and you're young, stop feeling ashamed because you have the potential to go higher than what you are. If you feel like you can go somewhere, you can actually do it.
And that's the thing as well, isn't it? Because it's that mind battle because there's so many people as well that know they could, like you said, they've got so much more potential, but they just can't give up this one substance social life. They don't have the confidence, they're worrying what people think, and this one substance is stopping them from doing that. But the head, fuck, excuse my language, in that process is horrible. It was like before my alcoholism really beat me down, I used to really want to run marathons, and I couldn't even do a half marathon, and I used to hate myself for it because I'd be like, you can't even stick to a training plan. So I was drinking and want to do better, and then not being able to do better because I was drinking. It was like this constant beating yourself up, and there's so many people in that position.
Yeah, it's staring you right in the face, but it's like you want to do something, and that's what's holding you back, and it's right in front of you, but you can't actually see it. When it's waved right in front of you, you know, this is why this is happening, this is why your progress has been halted. I was the exact same. I tried fitness numerous times in my life. There's so many regrets I had, like, such as football, wish I stuck in at that, and, you know, like, going to the gym and stuff like that. I had never, ever fully stuck to these things because I had still alcohol in my life, and I would sit there and wonder, you know, why am I not getting anywhere? Why am I not progressing in life when, you know, the answer was right in front of us? But we just don't want to throw it away because it also, you can sit and look at the alcohol. I always say alcohol gave me a superpower. You know, it took away my anxiety. It made me feel invincible, and it made me feel like I could do anything. It made me want to be the person that I thought I wanted to be, when in reality it was making me the person that I didn't want to be at all.
Yeah, and it's that negative chatter that comes with it as well, isn't it? Because it's like the negative chatter of beating yourself up for not doing it, and then it affects your self-esteem, it affects your confidence. It's just a roll-on effect for this one substance.
Yeah, it gives you the confidence on that night that you've had it, but then your confidence is not for the next few days that you're sitting rough and wondering why you're feeling 10 times worse than you did the night before. You know, it gives you that wee temporary high, and then you're gone again, and and you're going worse and worse and backwards. Because I was the exact same. Like I touched on the TV stuff that I've done, I'm with like an agency. I've got it in my bio on my TikTok, and I do like background stuff, and I used to get opportunities when I would drink, and I would sit up at night with a drink in me and go, oh, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I would have all these mad ideas, and then see when the next day came around, I would withdraw from them. I would take myself out of it, and I wouldn't do it because I would have all the anxiety, and, you know, I'd go, I'm not going to get anywhere, I don't feel like I could do this.
It's also like you talk about, like, you know, people not fulfilling their potential. Like, I think, you know, when you, maybe tell me if I'm wrong, but when you're a bit younger as well, when people talk about potential, they might think about careers, and they're thinking about money, and they're thinking about, you know, trappings, if you know what I mean. They're thinking about valuable things that might impress other people, but it's all like it's a career thing or it's a money thing. Would you agree that actually when you talk about potential and what you're talking about and what you've clearly sort of shown is that it's not really just about that. That's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the potential for you to be a good person, you know, for you to be a kind person, for you to be a patient person, a loving person, a good parent, you know, a good son. And just it's all those sort of things. And they're so much more than that. Work potential. Would you
100% agree. That's kind of mostly what I mean when I say potential. I'm glad you said that, because I mean it would be nice to have, you know, a big house and a flashy car sometimes and all the money in the world. So we'd all love that, but that's just, you know, that can, if that comes, it comes with it. But the potential is as in a person, you know. I know there'll be people maybe listening to me that not my biggest fan. It's probably thinking, you know, he's not so as great. But I feel like, you know, the potential for me to become an even better person, you know, because I've removed this and I'm recognising, you know, things in my life that I need to change. That's what I talk about, the potential to be the best person that you can. You know, if you can always improve, because we should always be teachable, you know, we've always got to be teachable. If you can improve yourself constantly and get to a point where you're happy within yourself and you feel so good within yourself, you know, that's the most important thing when you're up there. All the other things, materialistic stuff, doesn't matter as long as you're happy in your own skin. Because I've met people who don't really have much. You know, I've met a few people and they have absolutely nothing, but they're so happy and they're so calm. And you can actually sense the peace from them. You know, that way you're like, I want what they have, and how do they have that? Because they've worked on themselves to the point that, you know, being happy in their own skin, it's all that matters to them.
You've got it sussed at 26. He's cracked it, hasn't he?
Yeah.
What? Pete, what? Pete. So, Sorry, Andrew, go
Oh
on.
no, I
You
was
were
going
just.
to say, people always think I'm older. It's funny because it's a running kind of thing on my lives at the moment. Every single day, it's how old are you? How old are you? And I always say, people, you can guess how old I am. And then they guess, and I always say, I'm 27. Well, tomorrow I'm 27. And the amount of people that come in and they think I'm in my mid-30s, they'll say like 33, 35, and whatever. Laura actually thought I was 41.
Oh
She
God.
thought I was 41, and I said to her, "Did I look 41?" She went, "No, you just seem 41." And and I take that as a compliment because it's how you carry yourself, it's how you speak, and I'm happy with that. See, people think I'm older because of how I speak, then I must be doing something right.
And it sounds like you've worked hard for it, Andrew. Like it sounds like you've put a lot of work in. And I just think, just in case I forget to say, like, what a life the kids will have as well, having a sober dad in their life and also a sober mum. Well done to your ex-partner as well, the mum, your little girl. The little girl,
Yeah, it's my little girl. So, we've got a brilliant like relationship. We're actually best friends, and I'm going to
amazing.
touch on it because we've got such a unique dynamic. It's very rare that you get people who co-parent, but they're also best friends with a co-parent. Like, our name's Sophie, and we do things like we hang about and all that. And people always question like, "Oh, are you still together or whatever?" I was like, "No, we're genuinely not." We've both moved on in dating experiences, and you would never have thought we were together. And that's because we both got sober, and that's what AA gave us. That's what the 12 step gave us. We've managed to put resentments and all that in the past. Like she always says, she separates me from the sick person for all the things that have happened. And don't get wrong, I get on well with my wee boy's mum as well. We get on really well. It took a few years, but we do. But it's just not the same dynamic, of course, naturally, because she's not in the kind of recovery aspect that me and her are. But it's amazing what it's gave me, to be able to communicate well with both mums. And you'll have your differences and you'll have your disagreements and stuff, but that's just natural. But no, it's amazing what we've got.
Brilliant. That just fills me with absolute joy.
Can I just ask one last question, Andrew? What do you do to celebrate? Do you celebrate your anniversary? So did you do anything in terms of celebrating your 365 days or your 2 years
So
or?
what I tend to do is like it started last year when I got to my first year. When I got to my first year last year, I was like, I want to do things that I said I would always do. Because I used to sit up full of coke and alcohol and I used to write stuff on my phone. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and I would never ever do it. Say I was going to sign myself up to like boxing stuff and do like mixed martial arts. So last year I tried kickboxing for like 12 weeks, just something new, new lease of life. Didn't stick at it though, but I did enjoy it. And then I thought, I want to do a solo trip. So last year I went to Belfast by myself. Never been away anywhere myself. I pushed myself. I went to Belfast, got a cheap flight, decided to stay in a hostel as well, just kind of do everything a bit extreme. And I had the best time of my life. So I said, from now on, I'm going to start celebrating properly every time I, turn a new year and just celebrate my life because I've got my life back. So this year being 2 years, I mean, I booked this a while ago, but it was kind of just, I'll go to Mallorca and I'll celebrate it a few months later. And I was supposed to go to Ireland in March. I was going to a convention, funnily enough. It was an AA convention, and I was so excited for it. And that was going to kind of be celebrating it for myself, another solo trip. But unfortunately, I had to cancel it due to finances and stuff, and I was really kind of beaten down. But I've got Mallorca to look forward to, so I'm kind of treating that as a, celebratory thing for it. So yeah, I do celebrate it, and I've got people around me who will make it a big deal for me and get me cards and wish me happy birthday. So, and then my birthday's obviously tomorrow, so I'll get two birthdays in the space of a couple of months.
One of the benefits of being an alcoholic,
Ah, you get
yeah,
two birthdays. I always
Andrew.
say to people, if you're an alcoholic, you get two birthdays.
Brilliant.
Andrew, I've loved this chat. I know we say that every time, but I really have. I was worried about how we were going to come across Kelly because I thought maybe Andrew's going to be too cool for us, if you know what I mean. But like, thought this. I've just.
Speak for
All right,
yourself,
well, too cool for me then. You
I'm
can handle it. I might have struggled, but I've just so impressed with sort of your whole outlook and the fact you're out there and loud and proud about everything is just like, because it's not that is the opposite of me. I say it all the time. I come on here and I have these conversations, but I don't do anything in the outside world in terms of, people know I don't drink, but I'm not as out there as you, and I've got utmost respect for you for sort of not just owning it, but also owning it in terms of telling everybody else how good it is and, inviting them to sort of like, be as honest as you, and you can be the person that can talk to. Just got a lot of respect for you, mate. So really, really well done for, well done for yourself, but well done for everybody else as well.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed it, and just see quickly, being sober, I always just think about myself, and for anybody that is listening, getting sober is the best thing you ever do. Picking up alcohol took away everything. Putting it down gave me everything back. Not didn't give me everything back in the way that I wanted it, but it comes in different ways. I didn't get the ex-partner back, but I got her back as a friend. Things came into life the way it's supposed to be, and your life can be better that way. It doesn't need to be all bad, but also in sobriety, you'll learn a lot, and you will make mistakes, and you'll have good times and you'll have bad times, because you're not immune. But life does get easier. Life does become a lot easier when you start working on yourself and putting that stuff away and just staying away for that first drink.
And I'm just so pleased for the future that there's people like Andrew who are sort of, out there and owning it. And if he and he's too cool for school, and if he's willing to sort of do it, there's going to be other people who are sort of just as cool, all want to talk about it. And it's like it's just such a good thing.
I want it as a mum. I want to give a personal thank you, Andrew, because you're kind of paving the way for younger people to realise that actually it's not uncool to stop drinking for obviously my kids, my grandkids, and down the line. Hopefully, this will be a pattern that will follow in years to come. So thank you.
No, thank yous. I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Andrew, if people want to get hold of you, check you out. What's the ways that can go about doing that?
You'll get me on TikTok. I've got an Instagram as well, which is Andrew Beattie Model, but you're better off getting me on TikTok. It's just Beattie, BEATTIE. You'll find me posting. I mean, I post funny stuff as well, but I post a lot about just mental health, about how I'm feeling and my experiences, and you'll find me live. I try my best, lunchtime and evenings, quite late in the evenings. I tend to go late in the evenings because that's where people are quite lonely and vulnerable, and they're struggling with the drink and stuff like that. So you'll find me there. You can comment my live, or you can message me privately and give me a follow, and I'll get back to you best I can.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Thanks very much for it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And quickly, Kelly, before we go, what do people need to do if they want to get hold of, want to learn more about alcohol and sense and what we can offer?
So they can find us on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok under Alcohol Uncensored, or the website alcoholuncensored.co.uk. If they want to get in touch, they can email team@alcoholuncensored.co.uk. And again, me and Ian see this every week as well. If you are looking at the community and thinking, "Oh, I want to give this a go," but you're a bit nervous about it, send me a message. Me and Ian will gladly jump on a Zoom and introduce you to the community and let you get a kind of feel for what it's like. If you want to come on one of our members' rooms as well, I'm more than happy to let you jump on there and get a feel for what it's like and meet some of our members as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And if you're listening to this and you like it, tell everybody by liking and subscribing. That's what you've got to do as well, haven't you, Kelly?
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Right. Andrew, thank you. Everyone,
thank you.
see you next week.
Bye.
Take care. See you later.
Bye.
See ya.